Good morning. It's good to be here and have the opportunity to share with you a portion of God's Word. And before we do that, I'd like to give you some quick updates on the Haiti mission. We had an unscheduled trip to Haiti in February because Marie's mom had passed, and she had asked to be buried in Haiti, and that's kind of west of Port-au-Prince. That's where she came from, and she wanted to be buried next to her husband. So we traveled to New York, where she was living, to Brooklyn, and that's where the viewing was, and then from there we flew to Port-au-Prince, and then took the body to Côte de Fer, which is west of Port-au-Prince. We were there from the 3rd of February to the 10th, and we actually stayed at that place, that location, for 3 days, and we went to Fonds Parisien, where the orphanage and the church is. That. So we had a chance to be with the kids and see them and so on. So they're doing well. They are always happy, and there is, if you see these kids, you will not know that they are at the orphanage. They look normal, as not any normal kids, and we thank you for your support. And they are really doing well, and compared to the fact that they had not had any school exposure before, and some of them are reading at grade two, so they're doing pretty well. So we really thank you for your continued support. We have an upcoming trip, but we don't know the day yet, and the reason for that is that we are waiting for some shipping from India. We are replacing our latrines, those old latrines, that's what we have at that location for the, and that's for the church, the orphanage, and for the school as well. But it's not good. And so when we go to Haiti, people would walk back to the hotel if they need to use the facilities. It's just not good. So what we were able to do is to, I've been talking to some folks in India, because India has the same problem that we have in Haiti. So there are several companies that make what they call e-toilets. So those toilets, they are basically small units, and they are standalone units, and you can buy one or two or three units, and except they were expensive. The ones I was looking at were $9,500 per unit. But thankfully, there's a brother from Bayview, Trevor, who had come to Haiti with us, actually who was baptized in Haiti. He wants us to remember that he's a member of the church in Haiti, not Bayview, because that's where he was baptized. So he usually goes to, he had gone to the East, where he works with a company there, and he met with the president of one of those companies. And so he had, in Dubai he was, and so we were able to talk to these guys, and Trevor talked to them. And this is a company well known, because they are supported by, Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation for that kind of work. So they are willing to give us 3 units and send one of their technicians to Haiti to do the work so they can do it well, and for $15,000. So instead of paying $30,000 for 3, we'll pay $15,000. So that's what's going to happen, and they are working on them right now. They are making them. So we don't want to go to Haiti and not be there when those arrive. So waiting for them, as they get to ship them, then we'll make our arrangement to go to Haiti at around that time. So that's why we don't know when we're going yet. But it's going to be in the spring, or let's say May, June, that time. And also we will be sending a container to Haiti. We had some things waiting around, and also we're looking at some furniture, classroom furnitures. As you know, that we never had a school, we never intended to have a school. Now that we have a school, we have 6 rooms that we're able to make, to build the past summer. So we need to now make that look like a school. So that's what we're doing. And we will be shipping as well a van, because the van that we had in Haiti is not good now. So the roads are bad, and that it served us well, but we need to have another van now. So we can pick up people at the airport and so on, and when the kids are sick, to take them to Port-au-Prince and whatever, and bring people to church. If a bus ministry, the old bus ministry, works anywhere, it will work in Haiti. Because what happens, Haitians in general, they love, and even those who don't go to church, they love to send their kids to church, because they believe that kids that go to school are better kids. So you can pick up the kids and take them to church, except you need a bus, you need transportation. And they cannot afford to pay. Even our members cannot afford to pay transportation to go to church. So that's one of the reasons the van is well used, because it keeps going all the time. And this will be well used pretty fast too, but that's the plan. So we're glad that we are able to do that. And we, again, thank you for all your support. This morning, we'd like to look at some of the things that why the Church of Christ does not have what they call a church manual or creed or confession of faith. Why do we not have what they call confession of faith or a church manual or the creed, the human creed? And somebody says one thing that adds to the confusion many people feel concerning religion today is the fact that there are many different creeds considered to be equal or in addition to the Bible. The word creed means a formal statement or a religious belief, a confession of faith, a system of belief, principles, or opinions. How can people defend human creeds as being equal in force and power to the Bible? So some people and many denominations, they have the Bible, but they also have a human creed, a human confession of faith. You would ask them, okay, what is your creed? What is your confession of faith? And they will read you something. The Church of Christ does not have one. Why do we need one, or why don't we have one? Because the Bible tells us we need to have an answer to those who would ask us why we believe what we believe. And I believe that every serious student of the Word of God should approach their study bearing in mind at least two key passages. For example, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that's where we read, "But in your hearts, reveal Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." So according to this passage, we are supposed to be ready and be able to give an answer to those who would ask us why we believe what we believe. And the second passage I think we should bear in mind as we study the Bible is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I think as we study the Word of God, as we study the Bible, we should bear this passage in mind as well. Paul, talking to this young preacher, Timothy, says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." Therefore, bearing in mind these two passages today, we will answer the questions why the Church of Christ does not have this manual. And reason for this conviction, as Brother Brownlow says, "I could never become participant in some religious system which has a human creed. And he says, this is my conviction based on the following reasons. He says, here's why I could never be a member of any denomination that would have a human creed. And he says, here's my, and some of the reasons why I would never do that. First of all, in the time of the apostles, and in the first centuries, the first three centuries, the Bible was the only creed. So from the first century, the second century, the third century, there was no other creed but the Word of God. So why not use the exact same creed today? Why do we have to change things and make it different from what the apostles had? The apostles received the Holy Spirit, as we remember, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Jesus had told them that he would send them the Holy Spirit who would direct them in all truth. So the apostles received the Holy Spirit who taught them everything that they needed to know and to be able to please God. So if they did not need a human creed, why should we have one today? So I do not care to have a church manual similar to the Bible or similar to the one that existed in the first century. I want to have the exact same one. That means when the Church of Christ started, that's what they referred to as the sola scriptura, just the Bible. We have a song that says, give me the Bible. So you don't need to give me anything else. If I'm going to please God, whatever God wants me to do should be in the Bible. I don't need anything else. So if I need to please God, I go to the Word of God. The Bible completely furnishes us unto every good work. If we believe what the Bible says, then it's enough. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Peter 1, verse 3, we read, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So according to Peter, His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And the passage we read before in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that's the passage that was read, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, 17, we are advised, we know that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for everything that we need. So the Bible should be enough. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Holy Spirit says that the scriptures have been given to furnish us unto doctrine, unto reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, and into every good work. Now, what is the human creed expect? What is it expected to do? If the Bible is supposed to be complete for me, to help me do anything and everything that I need to do to please God, why do I need a human creed? What is it there for then? Now, and somebody says, now, are not human creeds written to furnish men unto doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, and unto every good work? At least that's what they claim. And if you have this creed to help me do the exact same thing that the Bible is supposed to be helping me do, why do I need it then? I already have the Bible. So yes, then the Bible is safe, but human creeds are not safe. And there is an anonymous author that says this about the Bible. He says, the following can be said of the Bible only. No human creed can make the following claims. Only the Bible can. And here's this quote. This whole book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its histories are true, its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. And he continues to say, it contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the sailor's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven is opened, and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its contents. No man-made creed can make this claim, so they are all unnecessary. While human creeds become obsolete and discarded, for new ones, the Bible continues to be functional and live and function very well. The Bible lives because it needs no changing. The gospel of Christ is perfect, and it is spoken of as being the perfect law in James chapter 1, verse 25. It is perfect, and a curse, it is also a curse of damnation rests upon anyone who would change it. So in Galatians, if you remember, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 9, Paul reminds the church of the danger of leaving the Bible, the Word of God, and to go and believe in some other doctrine. There Paul says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and verse 19, Revelation 22, there the Apostle John writes, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the book. So God's word is perfect, and it's intended for our good. And we have no right to change it, to take away from it, or to add to it. The Bible needs no changing. We either believe what it says or reject it. But we have no right to change it. Human creeds cannot be defended. The following is a quotation from the work of Benjamin Franklin. If you remember, that was an American scientist, a well-known politician and so on. He says, Benjamin Franklin said, first, any creed containing more than the Bible is objectionable because it contains more than the Bible. Second, any creed containing less than the Bible is objectionable because it contains less than the Bible. Third, any creed differing from the Bible is objectionable because it differs from the Bible. Fourth, any creed precisely like the Bible is useless because we have the Bible. So there is no need for any human creed. If you want to please God, well, let's use God's word. So in James chapter 2, verse 18, we are admonished to show our faith by our deeds. So those who have pledged allegiance to human written creeds are not able to defend the Bible. So if I were to talk to a preacher who says, well, we need the Bible and we need a human creed, and I said, well, why? If we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, if we believe the Bible to be complete, if we believe the Bible to be the true Word of God, why do I need something else? So if you maintain that we need something else, you also question whether the Bible itself is complete. So you can't defend the Bible if you have something else. And we need to remember that during the Restoration period, the main thrust was on bringing men back to the Bible. The popular slogan of the day was, we must speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. So as Christians, our job is to study the Word of God and speak where it speaks and be silent where it's silent. I cannot pretend, well, because the Bible did not say something, it could be true because it did not say it. No, it says it, it's true. It doesn't say it, it doesn't say it. I cannot write into the Bible what I think should be said. If anyone speak in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, we read, 1 Peter 4, 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So human creeds brought religious division and took men far away from God. The call from the Reformation was to bring people back. When we, the Restoration movement was to bring people back to the Bible. Let's go back to the Word. Let's forget about what so-and-so said. Let's go and see what is it that God says. That was the call for all of us to go and see what the Bible says. We don't need something else. Does anyone truly believe that the sin what happened before cannot happen today? Yes, if we move away from the Bible, if we start adding to the Bible or taking away from God's word, then we will go back to the same thing we were before the Restoration movement. So we must be ready to know that God has given us his word and he expects us to obey his word. We must choose between the two, human creeds or God's word. We can't have both of them. So if anyone chooses not to obey God's word, then they can write whatever book they want. But you cannot write your book and say that you have it in addition to the Bible. The Bible is complete. So we don't need the Bible plus something to lead us to God. So we need only the Bible. As at the last day, we will be judged not by human creeds, but by the Word of God. For Jesus in John chapter 12, verse 48 says, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. At the judgment day, the Bible, the Word of God, will be the judge, not human creeds. To members of the Lord's church, then, Jesus calls to us is to remain in him. Jesus says that there is no salvation away from the tree. So if you're going to have salvation, you have to be connected to the vine. Salvation is only in the vine. So if we are detached from the vine, then there is no salvation. So his call is for us to remain in him. As long as we remain connected to him, then we have salvation, we have eternal life. So now the encouragement is for us who are already members of the Lord's church to remain in him, to continue to fight the good fight, to walk in the light, as John reminds us. As long as we continue to walk in the light, we have eternal life. Salvation is ours as long as we continue to make the effort to be God's people. To those who may have not yet obeyed the gospel, then Jesus has these words: "Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So God has a plan to save everybody. But the devil also has his plan, that everybody would go to hell with him. So while God wants you to be saved, well, the devil wants you to be lost. So there are two powers, two forces at work. One is pulling you towards doing God's will, and the other is pulling you towards doing the devil's will. You have to be smart and decide, which way should I go? Well, I think the smartest way is to go God's way. So if you are here today and have not yet obeyed the gospel, let me encourage you to come forward as we acknowledge the same way that in Acts chapter 2, when people were given the choice, when they heard the gospel preached, they remembered and they realized that there was a choice to be made. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What do we do now? Now that we know that we have messed up, now that we know that we've done this, but what? Where do we go from here?" Well, Peter reminded them that they had to repent and be baptized, every one of them, for the remission of their sins. And they did. About 3,000 of them did. So now that you've heard the word, if you believe indeed, and if you repent of your sins, then you can have your sins washed away through the water of baptism. So if you are here today and have not yet obeyed the gospel, well, Jesus has this word for you. You can come. And he says, "Those who come to me have crossed over from death to life." So to come to Christ is to come to life. If you are subject to this invitation, why don't you come as we stand and sing? Number 934? 934. Let's stand as we sing, please.